fighting for America.
Mr. President, in 2010, you called the results of the midterm election shellacking. What do you call this?
Obviously, Republicans had a good night.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president continues to act on his own. He is going to poison the well. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to get down this path.
Fighting for you.
Why isn't our government doing something about this? I'll be the first one to say it. President Obama does not care about postpartum Taylor Swift disorder.
I'm pretty sure that's why the Democrats lost the Senate.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always reach us at kevin@kidoam.com on Facebook and everything else. We have the hot list. We'd love for you to check that out. Give us a click. That'll show our folks here and across America that our existence is justified. We're always working to create content, whether it's here, online, or everywhere. We're joined now by a gentleman that I've had a pleasure of speaking with in the past. He's a great guy. He's got a new bestseller out on Amazon. He's in a bit of a controversy right now with the New York Times and their bestseller list. They're not giving him his due, but we will. David Limbaugh joining us, author of Jesus on Trial. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Did you ever think that you would live in a world today in the Judeo-Christian world that we live in, with our history, where secularism and moral relevancy has taken over?
Well, I have witnessed this in my 61 years, and I'm no longer surprised. What surprises me is the fecklessness of Christians, fellow Christians, and other like-minded people who do not rise up against this stuff, and we allow this to happen to us. We are the majority, but we are an apathetic or disengaged or even cowardly majority sometimes. And it's discouraging to me that people won't stand up and they poo-poo these things and deny that they're existing. And so, you know, just like Obama, if he doesn't recognize ISIS as an enemy or Islamic Jihad as an enemy, we can't fight him. We can't develop a strategy to fight an opponent or an enemy if we don't recognize that they are that. And there are enemies in the culture war. And I don't mean enemies in the strict sense of the term, but we are engaged in a spiritual war. We're engaged in a culture war in this country. And I should say we're not engaged, but the other side is. And it's just only natural that we're losing as it stands now.
David Limbaugh, this book is very personal to you, and it pretty much reflects a lot of us, that we go to church, we practice our Christianity, yet we're not as out and open as other faiths. Why do you believe that is?
Well, when you say we're not out in the open, can you specify what you mean by that?
Well,
before I get off on a tangent.
We love the tangents here at 580KIDO. When you have people saying, well, we have people, you know, let's say the Muslims or this, that, and the other, where they wear it proudly. And you have people in the evangelical South and others that are proud of their Christianity. But here, whether it's the media making fun of Christians and no other faith, we seem to sometimes, you know, congregate amongst ourselves and are not as passionate as we should be as other faiths are.
Yeah. I guess it's not as cool to be Christian, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe people aren't as firm in their faith as some of these other religions. I dare say some political liberals who are not Christians, some of the secular liberals, and some liberals are Christians, don't get me wrong, but some on the hard left have more faith in their ideologies than some of us do in our theology. And it's a curious thing. And by the way, one reason, Kevin, that I wrote this is that not just to reach skeptics or hoping to reach skeptics, but to also reach people who are believers but need their faith reaffirmed and need a little jolt of excitement about their faith. And I find the Bible and theology exciting, and I wanted to share that enthusiasm. And by the way, I don't experience that every day. Like every other Christian, as my pastor says, we leak We backslide. If we don't stay in it, we get away from it. If I'm writing a book on politics, if I'm writing a column on politics, that's where my singular focus is. It becomes my idol. I'm human. I'm a sinner, and I fall away from it. We need to pinch ourselves. We need to exercise the spiritual disciplines and get back to the faith, get back to Scripture, get back to prayer and the other spiritual disciplines, and stay in it, because it's not our natural tendency. And so Christianity is the true religion, and so we fall away from it as a natural process, because we are sinners. And I just think we need to be mindful of it. We need to stay in it. But I can't explain, though, why so many people fall away and are not and seem to be ashamed of their faith. I just don't. Maybe they don't have the courage to stand up against the popular culture, which makes fun of and ridicules us and treats us as intolerant. And we know that Christianity is not intolerant, as they mean that term, but we're so afraid of being accused and being cast in that light that we don't stand up for what we really believe. I think that really hits it more closely.
David Limbaugh with us, Jesus on Trial, A Lawyer Affirms the Truth of the Gospel, with Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. You've written, you're a high-profile guy, you're always writing and always speaking, making a difference. How was putting this book together different from other books that you've written, sir?
Well, it deals with eternal issues, and it was different in that sense. The other books I've written and columns I've written deal with mostly politics and cultural issues, and a lot of times I'm very passionate about those issues, but a lot of times you end up in a negative mindset, because you're reporting on things that are very discouraging and dispiriting in our lives. This book deals with eternal issues, things that are very uplifting and encouraging, and about transcendent issues. And you can't help but be uplifted when you are close to these issues. When you engage in these issues, it is extremely gratifying and fulfilling. So it is diametrically different from writing about other things. Not that I apologize about writing about other things, but it's extremely different, and I'm grateful for that.
In writing this book, and you're getting great reviews on Amazon and the Christian Post and others, you admit that you had doubts, and you address those doubts in your book, Jesus on Trial.
Yes. I came to this kicking and screaming as a skeptic, and I had to study the Bible, finally give it a chance before I could overcome those doubts. And I want to, share that experience. So this isn't just some clinical analysis of Christianity's truth claims, as you might expect from a lawyer. It is more than that. It is a reflection of my own process, my own spiritual journey, and it tells how I went through it and how I ultimately overcame those doubts. And interestingly, I overcame those doubts by going to the source itself. I think so many times, so many doubters read about the Bible, hear about the Bible, and hear all the alleged inconsistencies and the alleged mean old God of the Old Testament, and they don't want to be involved. They find it absurd, some of the stories, Jonah and the whale or the big fish and the virgin birth. They don't buy into all that alleged nonsense, mythical story. And so I found, and I always believed this innately, even though I was a skeptic about Christianity, I always believed in God, and I wanted to believe in Christianity. I was a seeker, but I just couldn't get my arms around it. But finally I went to the source. Instead of trying to remake God in my image, I let him reveal himself to me. I say let him as if I have any authority in the matter, but I think you understand what I mean. I finally relented and allowed his reality to soak in with me.
David Limbaugh with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO, speaking about his new book, Jesus on Trial. Have we made the Lord politically correct?
Well, the popular culture has, in the sense that they paint Jesus as a milquetoast. The God of the Old Testament was mean. Jesus was a nice guy, and he preaches love. And so you can throw away that Old Testament and we go for Jesus Christ. He was the greatest moral teacher, and he was such a wonderful guy, and it's all sweetness and light. Well, in fact, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one and the same. God is immutable, unchangeable. And the God of the Old Testament, yes, he didn't look upon sin, but he was also a God of love. He is a God of love. And that's clearly expressed in the Old Testament. But more importantly, Jesus is not the milquetoast that the popular culture depicts him to be. He has no patience for sin. And he doesn't tolerate sin, and he's probably the most judgmental person who ever lived, because he is fully God and fully man, and he stands in judgment of all of us. And so when we have this idea that Jesus is only one way and it's all salt and light, it's not exactly true. He had a whip and drove out the money changers from the temple, and when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount and laid out the moral teaching, he spoke in no uncertain terms about the standards that we were supposed to live up to. And he was hard on people. I don't mean he was personally hard or ever rude, but he laid down a strict moral standard that no one can live up to without God's help.
Do you think it's possible, since he's God yet human, and through your research, do we know anything personally about him?
Well, he's fully human. I don't know what you mean. Do we know anything personally about him? The Bible says a lot about him and reveals his character throughout.
I was just going to say, what struck you about him personally, if anything, that surprised you?
Well, of course, I've been exposed to biblical stories and all. What surprised me was the extent to which he is human. And I think some of us miss that in our studies of the Bible and our understanding. When I understood he was fully human and fully God, a light went on about my understanding of Scripture. But I didn't understand why before. It used to be a reason for my doubt. Why would he say on the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Why would he say in the garden, "Father, take this cup from me"? And the reason is that he had to be human. He became incarnate as a decision. The triune God made a decision that the Son would become man and die for our sins. He had to be fully God to live a sinless life to cancel out our sins, but he had to be fully human to completely experience our sufferings, our full range of suffering. And he did experience them and more, way worse than we could ever imagine. Being separated from the Father, and also experiencing all the full real-time wrath of the Father for all the past, present, and future sins of mankind. When he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" he was experiencing his human suffering. And I didn't understand that the reality of that was critical in real history. And in his divine side, when he said, "Take this cup from me," and then he said, "But not my will, but thy will be done," he knew that he was obedient to death. He had to die and had to be resurrected in his physical body in order to conquer death, in order to conquer sin. And so he knew ultimately, I mean, it was a reflection, "Take this cup from me," how excruciating his suffering was. It wasn't just some mathematical equation that the God of the universe wrote on a ethereal chalkboard. It was sending his Son to actually experience the suffering for us so that we can always relate to him and he can always relate to us. And this God, who was not incarnate in eternity past, he was not. He was fully God. He decided to become fully man, but he will remain fully man, and we as men can always relate to him in eternity.
More coming up with David Limbaugh, Jesus.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk. The D&B Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
KIDO, Jesus on Trial, the book, the author, David Limbaugh, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. David, let's get back to your research in this book. Since you study the Gospels and such, any insight into the apostles?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I don't know what you mean insight into the apostles. And the way that you're framing the question, are you talking about their willingness, their change from being feckless doubters and deniers when he died to becoming bold proclaimers of the faith once they saw him in his resurrection body? I don't know if that's what you're getting at. I want to try to be responsive to your question.
No worries. That and the idea that each gospel was written from their own perspective, how different they were.
Okay, I just dealt with the way you framed the question. I have no idea what you're getting at, so I don't want to play games with that and try to guess. But yes, I think that the diversity of the gospel message told through different people and different perspectives actually adds rather than detracts from the credibility of the gospel. You know, if they set out to try to concoct some kind of neatly tightly woven conspiracy, it would be less believable. The fact that they didn't try to change what their own experiences were and to line everything up with each other so it was all perfectly fit, they told exactly the same story, to me, gives it a ring of authenticity.
David Limbaugh with us, Jesus on Trial, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. You have a couple chapters called Aha Moments. Can you describe those for people listening right now for you personally?
Yeah, well, you know, I've run across different stories in my Christian walk that really appealed to me and were attractive. And I thought if I shared those that I might move other people. Just real quick, one was a story where H.A. Ironside, an old preacher, 1900s or whatever, spoke in the Salvation Army ministry, and he used to meet and have his sermons in the big meeting halls, and this one guy kept showing up on the back row and saw him every day. He wanted to find out more about the guy, but he always bolted after the sermon. So one day the guy got in late and had to sit on the front row, and Ironside was able to corner him and asked him, "Why, you know, what's your story?" And the guy said, "Well, I used to be an atheist, but I've become a believer, but in God, but I still don't embrace Christianity." He said, "Why? Why did you change that you at least believe in God now?" He said, he pointed to a man in the hall and said, "This man used to be a hopeless alcoholic. He tried everything, and he couldn't overcome his addiction until he found Christ, and his life has totally changed, and that's made an impact on me. But I still can't embrace Christianity. I read the Old Testament, and I read the New Testament. It does nothing for me. If I could, I love Isaiah and the beauty of the literature and the sweetness of the sounds of Isaiah. If I could read Isaiah and become a Christian, I would do it in a heartbeat." And Ironside said, "Here, let me read a passage from Isaiah to you, and you tell me who it's describing." So he read Isaiah 53, and then who's it describing? And the man didn't say anything, and he asked him to let him look at it. So he looked at it and read it several times to himself, and then he bolted out of the room. And he didn't come back for 3 days, and Ironside was worried about him. And the man admitted that this passage, Isaiah 53, was describing Jesus Christ on the cross and the specific details of his suffering that were predicted hundreds of years before he died and before he was born. And so the guy says, "I can't believe all these years I've been cursing the one by whose stripes I am healed." And he was immediately converted on that experience, and I just find that moving every time I read that story. And I don't do it a good job at all when I paraphrase, but I tell the story as Ironside told it in the book, And it is just so moving to me. And I mean it. Every time I read that story, it moves me. And there's all kinds of stories like that and other theological points of interest that attracted me to the faith that are in those two chapters called the Aha Moments, chapters 2 and 3, that I wanted to share because they caused me to be very enthusiastic about the faith, among other things.
Well, David, we really enjoy your work. We appreciate your time, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much for having me on. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify when you asked me a few questions to make sure I didn't, when we're conversing, I wanted to make sure there's so many things in here that I could jump off into. And when you asked me questions, I wasn't trying to be obstinate, just trying to make sure I knew where you were headed and didn't want to answer answer a question in a way that you weren't getting at. Because it's important that, you know, we communicate.
David, you've got me well trained from your first book and our old friend Sean McCabe. No worries here.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. Still in the spin and PR business. So we go back to Sean McCabe. So no worries, my friend.
Sean McCabe, the sinner. You tell him he's a sinner and he needs to read my book.
I will do that right now.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, our wonderful David Limbaugh, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
And it's time for Monday, little children's 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller with you, along with Dave Burnett, who had a rested yet kind of, how do you define someone that's on the edge of being sick or is sick?
Sick, I guess.
You're battling something.
I'm trying to outrun it, doing my best to outrun it.
Could it be Ebola?
I don't think so.
You know, that would be great for us if you...
I haven't been around anyone who's been to Africa.
Well... I have to tell you, I have been to Africa.
Have you?
Well, no, but I think I can give you the link that we're looking for to, once again, justify our existence. Look, if you have to spend time in quarantine, it's not so bad. I'll give you my password to Netflix. I'll give you a Kindle. You'll have a good time.
I got Netflix, so I don't need your password.
Then again, and you won't miss any work because you can do it all via computer.
No, because I don't have everything I need at home.
No, we're going to send you to Missoula in the quarantine room. Think of what a big story that would be. How about taking one for the team? Better safe than sorry.
I don't want to go to Missoula. The temperature there getting down to zero this week.
Well, here's the thing. So I went to a doctor the other day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young lady, I think her name is Kathy. I don't know if she's up right now, but she's looking over my chart. And it's humbling going to these medical places, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of humbling.
Sure.
So, because they give you the, okay, you're on this drug, and this drug.
Yeah. And you're a fatty.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
You have to reinforce that?
Well, no, I'm just telling you, it's no different for me.
So I get the gown, and before I get the gown, she goes, oh, you're that Kevin Miller. And I go, yes, I am. And then we started talking about the program and everything else, and it was then she started telling everybody there about the show, so we did a little advertising.
I always hate that, though.
Eh.
When you're sitting there in a paper gown.
Well, I wasn't in the gown.
Oh, and then they identify, oh, you are, and it's like, okay, can you not, don't shout that. I'm in a paper gown.
And I must confess that I did not take a picture of myself in the gown to put it on the social media or the website. I just go, you know, I don't need the hits that badly. Could have had the reverse effect. But yeah. I went into this health facility, and I saw the sign up there that if you've been to West Africa recently, don't come in, call this number. So technically, I've been to West Africa.
I'm still not quite sure how you technically have been there. I saw a sign.
I saw the sign, and you know, I'm sure someone from West Africa probably saw that. I mean, that's close enough, I think. Well, I've been to West Africa, so you probably got Ebola from me.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking is we start talking about you having Ebola. We send you up to Missoula, or we just tell people you're going to Missoula. No one would check, and people would send you cards and letters, and you'd be great.
Yeah, I'll
think
pass
of all
on
the
that.
Attention.
I would just soon start feeling better. So I'm trying to outrun it, and I think I'm going to be able to do it.
Well, a lot of people have been wrong about that. I think you better get checked. You could infect everybody here.
With a nurse over in New Jersey, she's a free woman today.
Exactly. By the way, happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps. 239 years, I believe, today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marines, a very unique breed. I was in Mass last night, and Father Len says, hey, to all you former Marines, and I said this to Mrs. Miller, and the lady in front of me said, you're never a former Marine. You're always a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
That is what they say.
They take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
From the halls of Montezuma.
Yep. Well, they drill it, at least, you know, used to, but they drill it into them.
Right.
I'm not sure how it is now. I haven't talked to anyone who's been through the Marine Corps training recently.
Right.
But, yeah, they take it very seriously.
Well, as they should. As they should.
Yep.
So how about the president today? And I've got a couple other things for you. But how about the president saying he hopes China does well?
Well, he does. And, you know, there's a degree of truth. As China goes, so goes the U.S. I mean, honestly, they want us to do well. China wants us to do well. They want our money.
Yeah, but their actions. I mean, take a look at the cybersecurity, the theft, everything else. I mean, imagine if you had a neighbor like China. Would they really want you to do well if they came over and stole your tomatoes or figured out how you grew your green beans?
Well, you know, we have so much debt, though. They have a vested interest in us doing well.
Right.
You know, but they don't want us to collapse because that would hose them.
I think that that's what we should do.
Just go ahead and collapse?
We should take one for the team. I know a lot of people that if we collapse, they're good to go anyway. They've got the water. They've got the food. They are prepping before prepping became popular.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm going down with the team.
Hmm.
I have another question for you.
I'm ready.
What about facial hair?
Oh, this whole...
Now you have people on TV growing mm-hmm. the facial hair.
Yeah, my wife, we were watching the Bronco game on Saturday, and we saw this kid, Goodell, the kicker. Mm-hmm. He's got this big old hairy beard, and it says my wife just goes, he needs to shave that now.
Sure.
So she's ready to go down and clip him.
Very obnoxious, the beards.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that going on.
But now, all of a sudden, I mean, at least if you were on television, you had to be clean cut. Now you have people being scruffy and blah, 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 and you think, have we gotten that informal?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Well, are there any standards then?
I don't know. And it's, I mean, it would drive me crazy. I hate it when I get enough stubble going that, you know, the hairs start turning back in. This is the Manly Man segment now. You get enough hair going where the, you know, it starts curling back into your face and poking it. Drives me crazy. It's got to come off.
Right.
I've tried to grow a beard. Not going to happen. Right. Not in my lifetime.
Well, you could grow a beard.
It's an ugly thing.
See, at 46, I still can't grow a beard.
Yeah, it's an ugly thing when I do women pull their children away from me in the store. Get away from him.
Get away from him?
Oh, yeah, it looks bad. Looks bad. I look like a creeper.
Well, but, you know, where you're at, you don't really care what you look like these days. I mean, I don't care what I look like. I mean, there comes a point when you're just comfortable with who you are, right?
I know, to a degree. To a degree. You still don't want to look like a creeper.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. So you were watching the Bronco game. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. And I'm having to clean my language up. Oh, my goodness. That was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what I witnessed on Saturday night there. I mean, it's one thing, okay, they get a touchdown right off the bat. We turn around and get a touchdown right off the bat. Okay, let that go. But it kept happening. They kept running and scoring, and somehow the Broncos, you know, it was interesting. I was reading the news headlines on Sunday morning, and I'm going, would somebody write the Broncos got lucky to get out of there alive? But nobody wrote that.
Really? They didn't?
No, that's not what anyone wrote. But they were lucky to get out of there alive.
No, why do you think they didn't write that? I mean, not to get too deep here, but why do you think they passed on that? I mean,
I don't know, but they should have because mm-hmm. that was not pretty.
Yeah, I kept flipping back to that game and the Alabama game and the Oregon game. There were a lot of games running at that time. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, a great team doesn't go down, what is it, 28-14 or something, then 28-21 at half. I think, you know, and look, I'm not going to pretend to be a sports person, but something's missing there. And I don't know if it's the defense or what. I mean, New Mexico, very limited. The Lobos, very limited with offense. So just stack the line. I know that's easier said than done. But clearly, if you have trouble with them, you know, where do you go next?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that triple option, they had trouble with Air Force with it, and maybe that's the deal. They just can't take care of the triple option. They did better in the second half than they did in the first half. But that first half was just like, oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing there. It's like, wow, we're lucky. The offense was very good. Grant Hedrick was very good. The offense was very good, and we are lucky that they were. Had they had an off day, it would be a loss.
Well, you go back to Grant Hedrick, though, but isn't it the key to stopping him is just take away his dual threat status?
Well, sure, but that's the, you know, that's the whole deal with a lot of people.
But, I mean, make him be a pure passer. I mean, the couple plays that he has, and I've noticed this, when you let him run, he's all world. When you make him beat you as a passer, I mean, they have that one play where they do the, what is it, the dive play, the fake dive, and they hit the tight end over the middle. It's, and granted, you're seeing a lot of, you know, the same plays over and over again, and maybe that's just how the season is. But you go back to Kellen, you go back to all these other folks, I don't know. And look, it's an advantage. When he's rolling, he's pretty darn good. But on the other hand, you know, I would think opposing defenses would just lock in on that. And maybe that's easier said than done.
I think that may be the case.
Yeah, maybe that's easier said than done. Yeah, you know, these guys at home, why you cut him? Get him! I do that. Why you?
Yeah, sure you would. That's why you're not the coach.
Or the player, yes.
Exactly. So it's easy for us to sit back and criticize. But,
right.
But yeah, and I'm sure that Coach Harsin, Coach Yates, the team just kind of went, whoo,
right.
Let's get on a plane and get the heck out of here.
Yeah. I have an incredible story for you, really inspirational, and I don't think a lot of people do enough about this, and I'll be posting this probably 27 times today, but another great story about Boise's Winco in Forbes magazine, and talking about how they take care of their people, they take care of the customers, really a great thing, and the cool thing about it, I tweeted it, and Winco tweeted back or retweeted and said, thank you for that. It's just nice to see people that have such a great relationship with the community and do things in a quiet manner. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So big ups to the folks at Winco getting some much needed recognition. And, you know, I think they've got it figured out that you go in and you pay cash or you use your debit card. It saves them money. And quite frankly, it forces most of us to be responsible.
Yeah, and I've been told by people who work for them, very good company to work for.
Well, you got to figure out how to bag your own stuff, though.
You can't do that?
Well, I throw it in there sometimes, and then it breaks, and then...
I've never had anything break.
Well, aren't you perfect?
Well,
do you double
maybe.
Bag the pickles?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, if it's I big don't. And heavy, double bag.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to do more with less.
I'm just... trying to ruin the environment.
Or less is more.
Yeah.
Which is it?
I would just soon bag my own if it's going to save me money.
Yeah. So big ups to Winco there at 580KIDO. So we've talked about the Broncos. We've talked about China. Certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to the folks with the Idaho Army National Guard. You have two heroes that, you know, paid the price of freedom.
Yeah, we were at a high school football game on Friday. And they had a moment of silence. So one of the men who died was a former booster parent there at Mountain View High School. So pretty emotional moment.
I could only imagine.
Pretty emotional moment.
And what were the crowd? They just...
It was a good 20 seconds of you know, silence.
Right.
And you could hear a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go to a commercial break just because otherwise we were making too much noise.
Yeah, that is tough when you're doing a broadcast, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's the national anthem or this, mm-hmm. that, and the other. And
yeah, but it's tough. And now, as we approach Veterans Day tomorrow, which you'll be out, by the way, tomorrow,
It's a veterans' home, yeah.
It is a tough time.
And you think about this, it's the third or fourth, I think it's the fourth year we've been there. When you think of all those people that, and veterans, you honor the people that are still alive. Memorial Day, you honor the people that that gave the ultimate sacrifice. But you go back to all these people, these folks that faced such incredible odds and overcame them.
Yep.
And came back and built a better Treasure Valley.
That is true, and a better nation. In fact, we'll be paying tribute to some of our veterans today and tomorrow. You'll hear it on the air and some of the features we do. And, you know, it's not much, but it's our way of saying thank you.
I think it's pretty good.
Yep. So there we go. I got to give you some traffic. You ready?
All right.
Traffic now as you're coming out of camp.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And once again, happy birthday to the United States Marines. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work and weather safe. 5:58, coming up, we will take a look at why the president is in China. Our great friend Dr. Jerome Corsi is in. He'll give us the latest on a few things. In addition to that, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will be with us. We'll talk about benefits benefits to families of the fallen. What does the military offer? And, in light of the two guardsmen that have been killed in the line of duty or have died in the line of duty at 580 KIDO, what could be done? You know, a lot of people have been speculating on social media that military cutbacks, the cutbacks of training, could have had something to do with it. We're not going to go there, but we will open that up to you for your thoughts and your feedback as we roll along. And if you give us a like, Kevin Miller, the Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, I'd love to get a follow. And in addition to that, if you go to Kevin Miller Show on Facebook, you'll see the Winco article that we referenced. We will be talking a little bit about Winco, the impact of Obamacare on your wallets, and we will be posting that on our Facebook at 580KIDO. We'd love a like there. KIDO in Boise. There's a lot of ways to reach us in and around the 24-hour cycle that we live in. Fox News is next with the latest again on the president in China and what's next here in America. Stay tuned, stay informed. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.